So I promise this will be a fun one because they're all amped up today. Episode 270 of Way of the Warrior starts right this very second. Can we do that, Ken?
Woo!
Okay.
I don't know if you're editing or if you're rolling audio.
Let's just pretend it's live.
Okay. Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, Obi-Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Today, we will talk to Cub Swanson in a little bit. He's fighting on UFC on Fox 15 this weekend. We will also talk to Tyrone Woodley. He will be talking about the Ultimate Fighter Season 21. And I know that Obi-Wan Kenobi, a huge Ultimate Fighter fan, consumes every episode in perpetuity. So he's super excited
to watch him twice.
About eight.
What are we talking about?
About ATT versus Black Zillions. That'll happen on Wednesday. So we'll talk to him about that. And we'll even talk to him about this supposed Hendricks fight and what he thinks about Benson Henderson wanting to fight him at 170. So we'll do all of that stuff. Plus, we'll talk about Crow Cop. We'll talk about Phil Davis. John Jones did essentially an AMA as he broke into Andre Arlovsky's Google Hangout the other day. Matt Hughes wants to make a return. Ronda Rousey may be making Ken's WrestleMania dreams come true.
Oh, yeah.
And it appears in the length of this show that there will be a Nate Diaz-Matt Brown fight that will be on again, off again, off again, on again, and on again, off again before the podcast is over. So we'll cover all of those things. But first,
all the middle fingers.
We start with UFC at Fox 15 as we head to New Jersey as Luke Rockhold takes on Lyoto Machida in a big battle at 185, and one that's got huge, huge ramifications because the co-main event, which we'll talk about in a second, got destroyed. So poor Jacare is going to have to sit on the side because murdering Chris Camozzi for a second time in Chris Camozzi's career on short notice is not going to get you to the title.
It is not, but this still is exciting because you've got three guys here, depending on who puts on the best show, could get the next middleweight championship bout.
So before we talk about Rockhold Machida, I just want to get some clear. So you think if Jacare like beats Camozzi in 8 seconds, that makes him the title contender?
Really? Well, I wouldn't say only that, but if the Rockhold Machida is a stink fest, then, you know, I think these three guys all have the, maybe not as equal an opportunity now that he's fighting, you know, Chris Camozzi, but they've all got a chance to shine and, you know, make that statement that I'm ready for the
this
title
guy who
shot.
Did the hot stepper, right?
The hot stepper.
Oh, no, that's Ina Camozzi.
That's Ina Camozzi.
My bad. My bad. This is a step up from that.
Rockhold Machida is going to be a really great fight. It's super hard to call how that's going to happen.
It's very hard to call just because, Joe, you've got Lyoto Machida, who has dropped down in weight and redeveloped himself as a fighter. So it makes it hard to figure out what sort of Lyoto Machida you're going to see because he's been kind of steamrolling people. And Luke Rockhold has really come into his own since leaving Strikeforce and heading to the UFC. And he's kind of been in the middle tier at 85 for a minute and then just not out of nowhere makes it seem like I'm disparaging his skill set. That's not what I mean. But, like, in the last 6 months has become a guy that people are talking about going, okay, are we going to see Weidman Rockhold? Is that going to be a thing we're going to see?
Yeah.
He clearly hates Vitor Belfort. Would he rather that Belfort wins the belt so he can go back at Belfort? What are we going to see here?
Well, you know, Rockhold, to what you're saying, though, he's been fighting, you know, top 10 guys pretty much the last few years that he's been in.
Most of his career,
exactly. I think this is going to be a distance thing, right? So Weidman was successful against Machida by neutralizing the kicks, by moving forward and keeping it with his hands. The difference is Rockhold likes to kick. So is he going to keep it at that kicking distance and, you know, see what he can get with Machida? If that doesn't work, though, I think Rockhold can take him down and dominate on the ground. So Machida doesn't have this traditional BJJ background. He's been training for the last few years with Henner Gracie.
He's Brazilian, though. They're born that way.
But, you know, his dad had, like, some kind of Japanese martial arts background. He's not a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I give the edge in grappling to Rockhold, although we know Machida is nearly impossible to take down.
Unless you submit him standing up like John Jones.
Right.
Because that'll happen.
Or you do what Chris Weidman did. Or.
But, you know, Chris.
So wait. I just want to reset real quick,
sure,
before we jump, because we're going to jump to Chris Weidman. I'm just looking at the three fights. I don't think Machida's got a real good shot unless he totally dominates, because we're not going to see a rematch there. We got enough fights for Weidman, right?
Sure, we do.
We want to make him a star, so to speak. So, I mean, you could have him in there. I mean, Jacare's number one, right? He's the number one contender.
He is not the number one.
No, I mean, he's number one. I'm sorry. You and your friends, your ranking system.
Yes.
I know they're not actually contenders.
So they would have Vitor Belfort, and then I think Jacare's three, I would have to look, unless you're looking right now.
I can pull it up, and it's one of those things, too. Yeah, nope, he's number one. So we've got, in the middleweight division, obviously, Weidman's champ, Jacare, Machida, Belfort, Rockhold, and then Silva. So the fights we still have to make, so to speak, in that division are Rockhold, Belfort, Souza. I don't think the Machida fight happens without at least another win after this one. And I think Machida is going to beat Luke Rockhold, which means, you know, obviously we get Belfort, and then Luke Rockhold's going to be a step back. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's harder probably for Machida than it's going to be for Rockhold. I would almost put Machida on the same level as that undercard fight when we're talking about who has to do the most to get that title shot. Because what does Machida do to get a title shot out of this fight?
I mean, if he curb stomps Luke Rockhold, which I don't think he's going to, but I mean, if he, you know, if he beats Rockhold in round one in dominating fashion, I think unfortunately you get back to what you always worry about, which is these guys that win their way back into things that you don't necessarily want to see. When we continually talk about Junior Dos Santos as just being this amazing fighter who cannot seem to hang with Cain Velasquez, right?
Right.
And so we keep talking, do we want to see four? I don't want to see four. Then Ken will spend 10 minutes telling me how we're eventually going to get there. And we are. And we're going to have to see four. And so do I think he automatically gets it if he does it? No, but I think if you dominate Luke Rockhold in round one in 2 minutes, I think that's a different discussion.
Yeah.
If you go the whole distance and you win a decision, I'm with you. He doesn't get the nod and Rockhold goes down.
Obviously, but it looks like it's an interesting situation because I didn't realize Jacare was so high in the rankings. I mean, I know Chris Camozzi is not the biggest test in the world, so to speak, but all he's got to do, it's an opportunity, though, for him to win in quick dominating fashion and go, hey, I was number one coming into this. How am I not number one coming out?
Sure. And what's really interesting about this story is if you're not really paying attention, Chris Camozzi took the number one contender on 6 days' notice. The last time he fought Jacare was on a week and a half notice, where he was also beat, and then he lost three other fights and was kicked out of the UFC and fought his way back in. So an awesome opportunity for him to get in the co-main event card. So I fear for his safety, because I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready. If I was going to make a short list of three guys in the UFC, then I absolutely, positively, under no circumstances would want to fight on short notice, Jacare would be probably top of that list. I mean, I would put John Jones, Jacare, and Weidman.
Well, don't worry. John Jones will not fight you at short notice. He will cancel the event, and you don't have to worry about that.
But what I'm saying,
put Jacare one higher.
But what I'm saying is, like, those are the types of guys that you just don't... Like, I've been high on Jacare for a long time, and anyone who's listened to this podcast knows that. And the fact that, and I say this over and over again, but I'll repeat it if you're kind of new to the show, the fact that he's so brilliant on the ground and that he's falling in love with his hands, and his hands are doing some work for him these days, makes him so scary. And so that's why he's ranked as high as he is. And I totally agree with you, Ken. If he wins, I don't know how he doesn't drop. It's not his fault that Yoel Romero got injured. That's not his fault. As much as I would love to see that fight and bum that we're not going to, because if he beats Camozzi and he's next in line, the likelihood of Yoel and
does
him,
he fight again, though? I mean, you still have Rockhold has a win over him. As scary as he is, you see Rockhold win, you see him win. I mean, maybe we could set those two up for a number one contender match.
Perhaps. Jacare doesn't have any losses in the UFC, though. Rockhold has a couple losses.
Belfort's one of them.
Right, but Jacare has a loss against Rockhold. Rockhold beat him.
That's right.
In Strikeforce,
You're right.
Yeah. I'm cheating a little.
I guess it's been a while.
No, you're fine.
And I'm that much smarter. So, I mean, if those guys both win, what do we have? The Weidman fight at the end of May?
Yeah, May 23 or 24, one of them.
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, whatever that day is.
So, I mean, that's not ideal, I guess, for timing to get another fight in, but these guys both win. Let's say Rockhold wins, Jacare wins. Those guys could probably both fight in August, but then what are you asking them to do? Fight the champ on 3 months' notice, something like that?
You mean end of the year?
That's ideal, I think, as far as looking at all these rankings. Mm-hmm. With the Weidman-Belfort fight, depending on how that goes, I think it's going to be Weidman. We still don't know. So it's kind of interesting to kind of watch this. This should settle a lot as far as discussion with the middleweight, but we're still going to wonder what's going to happen, because we got to wait for that Weidman-Belfort fight.
Yeah, and I don't even know what's going to happen there. The other fights on the card that are of interest, if you're not super excited about the two fights that are in the main event and co-main event, which you should be, but Cub Swanson and Max Holloway at featherweight is going to be a barn burner. Max Holloway is on a 5-fight win streak. Cub Swanson was on a 6-fight win streak till he met a guy named Frankie Edgar, who subbed him with 1 second left to go in the fight and kind of derailed his path to the title. Cub is much older. He's 31 years old. Max Holloway is in his mid-20s and kind of just coming into his own. Both dangerous strikers. I still think, and you'll hear me talk to Cub about this, but I still think that if you look at the two, Cub has a better resume as far as tougher guys that he's fought. Max Holloway younger, so that's an obvious disparity and nothing against Max Holloway. I don't know, though, when you get to that featherweight division, any of those divisions, lightweight, featherweight, flyweight, you get to those divisions and you meet a guy like Cub Swanson, when he touches you, it's different than the rest of the dudes in that division.
He always seemed, one step ahead of his opponent with his hands. And Max Holloway is a brilliant striker as well. So I got a feeling that Max, that they're going to stand in front of each other toe-to-toe and just strike. I think Max Holloway wants to prove that he can strike with Cub Swanson, which, if I was his coach, would not be what I recommend he do.
Because, I don't disagree. He's got the skill set. I don't know, though, just because you haven't seen a lot of Max fighting high-level competition. Not that he hasn't been running through people, but he hasn't fought anybody of this level or above, right?
Agreed.
He's getting started in this part of the division, which is exciting for him. So I'm interested to see, as you see Cub Swanson just steamroll dudes with his hands, what's the disparity in power, if there is any?
Yeah.
Because they're very, very similar backgrounds, very, very similar body types, very, very similar skill sets. Although, Max will say that he has the edge in wrestling, if that's really a thing. And that, of course, is going to be the X factor in that scenario.
Yep.
They are going to go to the middle of the ring. They're going to feel each other out, and then they're going to go at it. And the one who gets hurt the most in that original foray is going to take a terrible shot, and then that's where the fight's going to kind of take off from.
I give the edge in striking to Cub still, though. I'm excited to see. It would be cool to see Max Holloway kind of outstrike Cub Swanson. You can't say that wouldn't be exciting, right?
There's no loser.
Well, never not exciting if somebody outstrikes somebody else.
But I mean,
coming in the underdog, the younger guy who's trying to show he's almost a protege or a younger version of Cub Swanson, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the sport's built on, right? Is seeing the young dogs come in and dethrone the old dogs. And this fight is one of those fights that you look at and go, for the fans, there's really no lose-lose because these guys are going to go for broke. And what's going to come out of that is the exciting part.
Yep. Betting lines are pretty close on this one.
Yeah, they've been really close all week.
I don't know. I just like that. Man, if they both strike, that'll be a great fight. That'd be awesome.
It will. I mean, they're both brilliant strikers. Let's see them stand in the middle of the ring and bang.
I do like the other fight on this card. Please look. There's other women in our division before Ronda leaves for WWE.
So the hype train that is Paige Van Zandt will be taking on Felice Herrig.
Is that the Karate Hottie?
That is not the Karate Hottie. Oh, I know you love the Karate Hottie.
I don't even. I couldn't. She could walk by. She could walk by. She's got a great gimmick, though. She could walk by, and I wouldn't know.
That is my favorite part about you.
When we go to lunch, and I ask if all the women around us are the Karate Hottie, and that's why Eric doesn't go to lunch with me anymore.
How about her?
It's probably not the big girl, or else she wouldn't be called Hottie.
She's not even from Michigan. Okay, so that is happening on the main card.
Like, there's not planes.
To see if if Paige really can live up to the hype. There's quite a bit of hype behind her.
Yeah.
For the obvious
because she's one of the most attractive
chauvinistic
women
reasons
in the UFC.
That we get
look,
into.
Look, we have more blonde fighters.
Right.
Do you like her?
Right.
Put her on the main card,
so for the chauvinistic reasons.
UFE. UFC.
But for the first person who is interested in the female division, this is a test to see really where she is and to certainly see if Felice Herrig, who was really, really high coming into The Ultimate Fighter, really didn't live up
no,
to that.
Not at all.
At all. So to kind of see where she is in that and where she falls in this division and what's going to happen with that. Also on the card, Jim Miller is going to be the last fight against Benelli Darouche. That'll happen right before we go to Fox. And before before that, one of my faves, OSP, will be taking on the Barista. You may remember him as the dude who took
Oh, that's right. Daniel. This is his payback fight.
He's gotten two since then.
But has he?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Right?
Who is he?
Patrick Cummins.
All right. Way to go, buddy.
He went 2-0, right?
Yeah.
I think he's the favorite in this fight, believe it or not, OSP.
Which
so
is scary and makes
boys and girls, if you want to make a little money this weekend.
Bet on E's favorite fighter, yep. OSP. I mean, I've been a fan of his in Strikeforce, and kind of wanted to see something happen.
Let's calm down. Let's calm down with speaking as a group, okay?
I thought Ken liked him.
Ken
too.
Can barely figure out when Bellator is on, let alone cheer for people in
Strikeforce. Did you see that referee? He's going to get somebody killed. This might be the only week I'm actually prepared with Bellator content. What is going on?
No, he's not. Keep hitting him.
Von Fluke chokes another dude. Did we put this on our Facebook? You're in charge
we
of that,
did not,
Joe. No, thanks for being on top of that.
Hey, so, you can jump on anytime you want.
So
on Indeed right now as an application for a new social media director for Wave.
Right, exactly. Check out Silk Road. This guy had another dude in a Von Fluke choke. I don't know the names yet. I'll look it up. And basically, he had the guy out, didn't want to kill him, so stood up and then put his hand around the guy's throat and then had to argue with the referee whether or not the guy was out. And the referee would not listen to the argument until the fighter took his hand off the throat and the guy was just lying there.
I think perhaps, aside from the insane things that happened in Bellator in the last 3 weeks, specifically with the refs that clearly don't know. If you think UFC refs are bad, just spend a Friday night watching Bellator, right, and you can really see where the kindergarten refs have come from. I think the better part of this is that Ken doesn't know either fighter's name, but knows one of the most difficult chokes ever to pull off right by name.
Well,
like, you didn't just go,
well,
you choked
know why
him. It's a Von Fluke choke, right, everybody.
Let's go a little deeper. My prowess, obviously not as good as both of you, but I will try to learn any chokes where basically I just got to kind of lay. And that's what the Von Fluke choke is. You just kind of go, I'm going to pull that one out every time. I'm going to have 7 different versions of it. I'm going to have the knee Von Fluke choke, the belly Von Fluke choke, the bicep Von Fluke, anything where I can lay on you. My best bet in a fight.
All the Von Flues. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Cub Swanson. We will talk to Tyron Woodley. And then after that, we'll break down the rest of the news. And there's quite a bit of news here in the world of mixed martial arts this week. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hulkrin along with Ken Evans, Joe Bumakanovi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. UFC on Fox this weekend as we go to Newark, New Jersey. On the phone with us, going to be taking on Max Holloway. It is Cub Swanson. Cub, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Big weekend this weekend. You're taking on Max Holloway. Let's get into this and talk a little bit about your thoughts going into this fight. I know you two come from kind of a similar background. You've obviously been at this game a lot longer than he has. Talk a little bit about what happened when they came to you and said, hey, do you want to take this fight?
I've met him before. We hung out before. Tons of mutual respect. But at the end of the day, we're both competitors, and we both feel like it's a perfect fight for us. Kind of new school versus old school.
And, you know, he has come out and said that you guys are going to come into the middle and throw until somebody falls down. Do you think that's hyperbole from his end, or do you really think he's going to kind of see if he can test your striking, which to me seems like a really dumb idea?
Well, I mean, he knows the striker too, so, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it, but, I mean, also wouldn't doubt if he, you know, tried to shoot on me right away.
Well, it just seems to me, you know, Cub, when you watch your fights, there's a lot of guys that get in there and think, okay, well, Cub's going to come to the middle and he's going to try and own the octagon and I'm going to test him there. And as soon as you touch them, that's when they want to get out of there as fast as they can and either go for a single or see if they can take it to the ground. And I guess while I respect his striking, if you look at your resume of work versus his resume of work, I don't think his chin has been tested in the same way it's going to be when you touch him on Saturday night.
Well, that's well put.
All right. Well, obviously, this is a big fight. There's a lot of stuff happening in the featherweight division. You've been at this for a while. I know you've said in earlier interviews this week that matchmaking at this stage in the game for you is a little bit difficult. What do you think the rest of this year looks like for you? You win on Saturday night against Max. What would you like to see before 2016?
Just at least one more fight. You know, I really didn't want to look past this fight. You know, this is everything to me right now. But no matter what, I want to fight one more time. And, you know, whoever it is, I just, it doesn't matter right now. I want to fight at least twice a year. I want to stay active. You know, I'm 31, but I feel great. So I want to continue fighting at least twice a year until I just can't do it anymore.
And, Cub, would you fight three times a year, or do you think two is kind of like that perfect schedule for you?
I could totally pull off three times a year. Just I also would like to do a little bit of traveling, too. So it's just hard to know exactly when you're fighting because I like I like to train about 14 weeks for camp. So, you know, if I'm not in the gym, you know, getting ready and feeling prepared, and you know, sometimes I feel like I'm not 100% ready.
And, Cub, for this fight around, you opted to stay a little bit closer to home. Can you talk me through what the change in the camp was for this one?
Just I stayed home this time. You know, I've been traveling so long, you know, for camps. But I do, like, usually half of my camps at home and just kind of bounce back and forth. So, you know, it's not like I'm not comfortable being at home. It's just I knew that I had great training at home. I brought a lot of guys into me, and I didn't have to go sleep on anyone's couch or on anyone's floor for a camp. So it felt pretty nice to be home and to have everything I needed right there.
Does that make, and maybe this might be the dumbest question you get asked this week, and if it is, I apologize. When you're staying at home, does that make the diet part of it a little bit easier because you're kind of used to everything around you?
Oh, it definitely makes it easier. Just because every time I would have to go to a new place, I would have to like buy all new supplements, buy all new food, and you know, odds and ends things, and so it's a lot easier when you're at home and you have your. I have a physical therapist that works with me, you know, a chiropractor, and every time you go to a new place, sometimes you have to like search for those things.
Awesome. So, Max Holloway, this weekend you are on UFC on Fox, a big, big event going on. You've done tons of striking training, tons of boxing training. So, I feel since you did some training, you know, alongside Victor Ortiz, I'd like to ask you. There's obviously a big boxing match coming up in May. Your thoughts on Mayweather-Pacquiao?
Gonna have to go with Mayweather. He's just a better boxer. In my opinion, Pacquiao is an amazing fighter. One that everyone wants to watch, but Mayweather is a master boxer, and he may not be the most exciting, but he knows how to play the game and win by the rules.
Let me ask you a question about that, because he obviously gets dinged for, you call it lack of excitement, and most, I think, mainstream fans would call it the fact that he doesn't have a ton of knockouts. What is it about the fight game that fans don't really understand or embrace the nuance? If it's boxing, watching somebody like Floyd Mayweather, or it's somebody who's doing a whole bunch of groundwork in jiu-jitsu. Do you think that either one of those sports will come to the point where people will, you know, mainstream people will understand the nuance and appreciate it in the same way, like if the USC goes to Brazil, they cheer for things differently than they do in Vegas? And I'm wondering your thoughts on the education of the people that consume the fight game.
Well, yeah, it's definitely what you said. It's the education. And it's always, you know, it's the hardcore fans that understand the brilliance of, you know, not getting hit, you know, but just the average person just wants to see, you know, two guys, you know, bang it out like Rocky movies. but that's, you know, that's for us as fighters to have longevity in our career. It's about hitting people and not getting hit back. And to me, that's the real beauty. That's the art that's difficult. So I think that's always going to be to only the trained eye and the real fans, you know, the hardcore fans, the average fans, just, you know, they just want to see action.
Cub Swanson joining us, taking on Max Holloway, UFC on Fox this weekend. You've also got a couple irons in the fire. Last year did some work on the show Kingdom. Do you have any more acting things coming up in the next 18, 24 months?
Nothing scheduled, but I definitely love to try. It's not something I want to pursue pretty heavily. You know, I don't really see myself wanting to go on auditions and stuff. But anything that gets thrown my way, I'm definitely going to go do. You know, it takes me out of my comfort zone. But I want to push myself to do stuff like that.
So in these particular instances, do they come to you then? Is that how it works out?
Yeah, and just, you know, end up running into somebody and they're like, hey, we need this done, or, you know, it's always just come to me. So I'd like to try a little bit harder, but like I said, I don't really see myself going on auditions and stuff. I'm a little bit too shy for that.
So no romantic comedies with Cub Swanson anytime soon?
Yeah, probably not. I don't pull that off.
Cub Swanson joining us. Cub, if people want to get the killer Cub gear, where do they get that stuff before Saturday night?
They can click on my Instagram or Twitter link, which is at Cub Swanson, or they can go to virusintl.com, and Virus sells all my gear for me. So I got tons of stuff on there. Just got in my new shirts, and they're awesome. So I appreciate the support, whoever buys it.
And you're also doing a selfie contest. You're also doing a selfie contest this weekend, too. So if they get the gear and take a photo of it, they could win some other stuff, right?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, get on.
My buddy, Paper Chuck's writing that for me.
Very cool. All right, get online, check out Cub Swanson, get the killer Cub gear before Saturday night. Cub, always a pleasure to talk to you. Wish you the best on Saturday night. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you again soon.
I really appreciate it, guys.
And we move from Cub Swanson over to Tyron Woodley, who will be backing his friend Luke Rockhold this weekend at UFC on Fox and talking about The Ultimate Fighter Season 21, ATT versus Black Zillions. Tyron, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Eric?
I am fantastic. How was your catch-up with the Jersey Shore this morning?
It was good. You know, I realized I didn't need to watch a ton of it. I got a few guys' names out there. And if I came at the fight, I'll be able to refer to them by name, but that was all I needed.
Well, I'm glad you got the research done. So there's a lot to talk about with you, which is always exciting. That's why I love having you on the show. First of all, how's the foot feeling?
Foot's feeling good, man. I'm in the hotel right now walking with socks on, no cast, no boot. You know, I'm just trying to strengthen it. And, you know, if I have to travel, like, you know, we're going to Yankee Stadium Sunday. So if I got to walk up and down stairs and do these long walks, and I'll put my boot on. But at this point, I'm not going to do anything to my bone. It's completely healed. It's straight as a whistle. And actually putting weight on it and pressure on it makes it stronger and makes my foot stronger. So I've just been rehabbing like a madman, going through a couple times a day. And I'm healing fast, and I expect to be back by July, ready to fight.
So, you know, as a fan of you and your fight game and all of that stuff, I'm interested when you get an injury like this that clearly can hinder your cardio. Like, what do you do to stay in cardio shape when you're down a wheel like that?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, I'm not going to act like, oh, man, I'm freaking doing all these crazy things that get me in the best shape of my life. No, I can't run. It's like an attachment. I don't know if you're familiar with a VersaClimber machine.
Yep.
But they sent me out this special attachment where I can sit on it and I can use it. So I've been cleared to start with that starting next week. So doing that, doing bike, doing some elliptical, tolerable, and obviously once I get back rolling, running and jumping rope and training. But I've been hitting a lot of pads, a lot of bag work, a lot of core work. I'm trying to get everything beyond my ankle and my foot strengthened. So when that comes back and it's 100%, it's going to catch up quick. Your body kind of, if one part of your body is ahead of the other one, it kind of catches up. So I'm getting a nice jump start with the rest of my body, and I'm just trying to make sure I don't gain so much weight. I don't want to be walking around looking like a blimp. You know, I'm just trying to work out every day and make sure that you know, I stay in shape.
And so speaking of staying in shape, there's obviously rumors floating around about UFC 189. I know you can't confirm or deny, but the Hendricks fight is the one that you want, right? Like, you don't want to talk. I know Benson Henderson is trying to get at you, but you want Hendricks, right?
Benson Henderson trying to get at everybody. He called out me, Pettis, Johnson, John Jones. Then he asked me if, as long as I promise not to Hulk smash him, I said, I'm Hulk smashing everything in welterweight. So if that's what you want, then only ask him if I ask. You know, I appreciate what he's trying to do. You know, you got to realize he's in a different point of his career. You know, he respects me. I respect him. He's actually at a point where he's been a WC champ, lost to Pettis, worked his way back up, was a UFC champ, had a couple defensive there, lost to Pettis. Now it's like, do you really want to see him right back in the title shot? You know what I mean? So he's trying to call out big name fighters, which I'm honored that I will be one of those guys. I've only had one or two other guys in my life that ever called me out, so it's just great that he would see me as a pivotal fight that can get him somewhere. I've always been a person like Johnny. I'm looking to fight Johnny because he's at a position where I want to be, and I think Benson might get an opportunity to fight against Black Zillion and Michael Johnson. I don't know if it's confirmed, but I think that fight makes more sense than him coming up to welterweight and fighting me and things of that nature.
Well, I think he's one of those guys that fans like to see, and you want to put him in positions where he can look great. And I think the Michael Johnson fight, while certainly not easy by any stretch of the imagination, I think you're 100% right. That makes a lot more sense. So let's talk about Hendricks. Are we any closer to getting that inked?
You know, I put it out there. I don't think the UFC is against it. I think they're open to it. No, I think they're in that mind. They're going to give him the next title shot. You know, I think his performance against Matt Brown was similar to mine, against Gastelum. You know, it was solid wins against a solid opponent, but it was really just, hey, I'm just getting this fight out the way. It wasn't like
right.
We were trying to go murder, kill, kill. So I think it was similar performances in our last fight. You know, and also Johnny fought. He'll be 4 months. When July 11th hit, and then he fight, it would have been 4 months from his last fight. So why would you want to wait 4 months to watch the fight? You have to wait another 4 months for the person to be ready to fight again. No champion is going to turn around and fight you next month.
Well,
it's going to be a minimum of 4 months.
Well, and
like 8 month turnover. So you said what?
I said, well, not only that, but I mean, you know, you're a very smart guy. You're not an idiot. You know that you get on those cards and something happens and you could end up sliding into that slot, you know? So getting on the card as opposed to watching the card, I think is a smart move.
I agree. You know, I'm open to either, you know. I don't think Johnny's scared to fight anybody. He had a hard road to the top. You know, he had to be Camp Man. He had to be Fitch. He had to be Condit. He had all these wins, Koscheck. And then they even gave Diaz a shot over him. So, you know, he could have lost to Carlos Condit and missed his opportunity. So he had to fight to get it, and he lost a close fight to George. Came back and got another shot, beat Robbie, and got another shot and lost to Robbie. I mean, I'm kind of tired of seeing Johnny S in a title picture. Like,
right.
What do we got the rankings for? What do we got guys fighting these killers for? You know, let's get some fresh blood in there. Let some other people get opportunity. And if you're the best in the world, you're going to work your way back up anyway. You're going to be the reigning champion. So I think we need to mix it up a little bit. We need to shuffle the deck and let guys like myself and other fighters who've been busting their butt get opportunity.
Absolutely. And speaking of shaking things up, this week, Wednesday, we're starting season 21 of The Ultimate Fighter, ATT and the Black Zillions. Talk a little bit about how different this season is. And, you know, do you like the new format? Because after 21 seasons, you got to do something kind of super different. And they've done that, which putting team versus team as opposed to a team captain who picks, you know, they've shaken it up. So talk a little bit about The Ultimate Fighter.
I love the concept, number one, because I know the owners, when they first heard it, they were jumping all over it. It's great exposure for both teams. It just so happened that two of the top teams in the entire world are in South Florida, literally less than 5 miles away from each other. I'm talking about some bitter hatred from the owners that you can't even explain. If it was fire in the foot, I can't see anybody taking a piss to put it out. And I really think it's a great format. You know, you got a top camp that's been around for a while. Black Zillions have made a lot of noise really quickly, but they got off to a rough start. And I think partially because of karma, some guys left from Jackson camp, some guys left from our camp, some guys came from other camps. So they had a mixed batch, and I think with a lot of personalities and not the organization, the structure. It took them a while. They lost a lot of fights early, and then they came to momentum. Now you got Rashad coming back from injury, is looking to fight. Michael Johnson's off a sick performance. Anthony Johnson, you know, came two weight classes up. Actually, maybe three. No, two weight classes up, and he he's a terror. And he's a frightening person to be in front of. So I think their rise and American top team consistency makes for a great season. If this would have happened right when the rivalry started, I just don't think the Black Ninjas would have been competitive enough. They were too fresh of a team. But now they're established, and now they're having some momentum, and they found out what they need to do. I just think it's a great format. And I think we'll see maybe like Alliance versus freaking Alpha Males, or AKA versus Jackson, and Kenzo Gracie versus something else. I think we'll start seeing these. You know, I think it's great for the sport.
I think it's exciting because it adds another level of education, you know, because fans may watch you, right, watch you fight and have no idea where you, you know, even though it's on a banner and they introduce it every time, they may not know what the team aspect is and who else is on your team and who else you may be training with. And this is a great way to kind of educate the fans while putting on a killer TV show.
I 100% agree. And also, you got to realize that that $500,000 is no chump change. these owners are putting millions, like literally millions, into the teams, making a family atmosphere, creating that culture of success and hard work and dedication, and what it means to carry that ATT banner. And I'm assuming that the Black Ninjas have done the same thing. So it's not going to hurt. Nobody's going to cry about getting that $500,000. So I think that, the trophy, the bragging rights, the authentic rivalry, and then, you know, some of these guys you might not know about, Steve Carl and, you know, all these guys that have been around, Nate Coy and Mike, these guys are tough. They've been either had some experience in other organizations or they've been trained with the top guys. I've had 4 of 8 in the training camp with me personally. So it's like, I'm excited. I'm so excited for these guys to finally get the credit they need and finally get the opportunity, because it's not about the ability. Sometimes you just need that opportunity to be able to show it. You know, that's what I yell for. I don't want to be given anything. Just give me the opportunity to show you I'm the best in the world, and I believe I'll do it.
Tyron Woodley joining us. The Chosen One, a big weekend. I know you've got lots to do today, so I'll let you bounce, but I want to give you a chance to kind of walk us through real quick how Luke's feeling, how he's ready for Saturday night, and what's going to go down.
Man, Luke is an animal. He's I told him, Ben Askren, Tommy Barzini, one of the ATT coaches, and Dean, they're the 4 people that I really – those are only really people that I care about would think about me. You know, Laborio or Dan, obviously, but they'll tell me 100% how they feel. But how I am, like, cardio-wise, and how I am as far as what I'm doing in camp and how great my workouts are, when I look to them, I look to them for straight, authentic, cut, uncut, raw criticism, feedback, and they'll give it to me. And Luke's been at, you know, I told him my last fight, you know, my last 2 fights, I said, I just want you to walk into the freaking locker room. You don't have to say nothing, because I trained with this kid. I said this a long time when we were both on the Strikeforce Challengers. I said, man, I think this is the best fighter out of AKA. You know, I went there to train with those guys. Man, I thought he was going to kill me. I'm like, what the heck? I thought he was trying to represent on me because I was from ATT. But I just found out that he trains like that with everyone. You know, sometimes they couldn't let him train with freaking Koscheck and Fitch because he would hurt guys on accident just because his intensity is so strong. I think with experience, I think with the time frame that he's had as a professional fighter, the experience is kicking in. Now he's tunneling and he's driving the chaos with technique, you know, also with, you know, organization and strategy. So I think he's the next champ, man. I don't say that about a lot of people. But when I saw Frank Yeager, I said he's going to be a champ. When I was at AKA, Cain Velasquez had only 1 fight in the UFC. I said he's going to be the champ. And I think I'm really good at just seeing guys that are going to come through and make it happen. And I'm excited, and I'm a friend, I'm a fan, and I'll be rooting for him Saturday.
Very exciting weekend. Tyron Woodley joining us, the Chosen One. Go have a great weekend, and we will talk soon, my friend.
All right, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
And when we come back, we will talk about the rest of the UFC news going on in the world. We'll talk a little Krokop. Is he back? Should he be back? What's John Jones up to? All of that stuff is next. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans and Joe Biwan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We talked a lot about UFC on Fox. You can catch the weigh-ins this afternoon and then the event, obviously, on Saturday night. All of the results, we will have them on Twitter and on Facebook. Just search WOW Show. And we move on. Last weekend, we went to Krakow, Poland for the, what would be best described as a regional show headlined by Krokop and Gabe Gonzaga.
Nobody else on the card that night. And it was at like noon on a Saturday.
Yes. This is clearly...
That wasn't for you, Ken. They did not broadcast that for you, Ken.
For as many times as you say that, this might be the one time where I'm like, yeah, that was not at all for
you. You know what's funny about that one is I accidentally saw spoilers. I wanted to see the Crow Cop fight, but I didn't watch the whole card.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the spoiler of Gonzaga walking around with like his Frankenstein head.
Right.
And I figure he lost at that point.
A freaking gorilla head on that guy.
I'm talking about the giant cut too, right?
Huge cut. And what's really interesting is afterwards, I was on vacation, so I didn't rank this week. But afterwards, that they put Crow Cop in, you know, they ranked him.
Where is he ranked? He's in the top 15 now.
Hold on, that might be the best description ever. They put Crow Cop in. Oh, they ranked him. They did that.
But like when you go back and
you're so disappointed in your friends.
Because when you go back and watch that fight, he was just dominated for 10 minutes, got one good crack in the third round.
It's the heavyweights. Come on.
There's probably some sentimental value in there too.
But do you really want to see him fight again?
We just want to hear the Duran.
I don't think he's a top 15 fighter, but I do. I've said this a number of times. I think we should have a Masters division for these guys, a 40 and up division where it's, you know, great fights, kind of marquee.
So it's like on CBS when the other stuff's actually going on. Kind of like
NBC. CBS, but
no, what is it? NBC or CBS that runs like the old golfers while
golfers
exactly. on the
Masters.
Other
TV. Well, like in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, there's a Masters division, 40 and over, and then a lot of times it's, you know, guys who've been in it for a long time and you really want to see them fight each other. But it's not necessarily going in the ADCC for gold.
Let's pump the brakes for just a second on this
pump
analogy.
Pump the brakes here, boys.
On this analogy, because in jiu-jitsu, you're not being punched in the head and getting concussions all of the time. And I just think it's a scary proposition to be like, hey, dudes who are 40 and 50, would you like to get head kicked by Gabe Gonzaga in Krakow, Poland? Because we've got a job for you.
Yeah, would you like to see Crow Cop stand in front of Cain Velasquez and get kicked in the head either, though? I mean, that's not a fair fight, and we don't want to see that happen.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, you put the guy in the rankings, you know, what are you going to do with him? At least, like, the other news this week is Matt Hughes said that he would totally take that Matt Serra fight if Dana asked him to. I don't mind that if you're just going into it outright saying, I'm going to do this.
Well, that's a UFC fight or
no,
a grappling match?
I think it's like grappling. But I mean, whatever it is, like you're going into it going, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like I'm not going to Krakow, Poland to get my rematch. And then when I win, I get ranked by the UFC universe. And then now is Joe just going to go, I'm going to ignore all the actual rankings and pretend he's not there because he shouldn't be there?
Well, the heavyweight division, if you look at the rankings, is full of a lot of guys who aren't great. It's not a stacked division like, you know, 155 or 145, 170, etc.
What are you saying?
I'm saying not only by mass, but I mean the competition level at heavyweight in the UFC has been lackluster for years now. So I think that's part of it, and I think the other part of it is sentimental. You know, a lot of the people who put out these rankings loved and grew up watching Crow Cop and probably even followed him outside of the UFC. With all that being said, he hasn't even done that great outside of the UFC. If you look at his record, he's maybe batting 500 in his last fights.
Well, according to the commentators on Saturday night, he beat an Olympian, so therefore he's back in the UFC.
Pride never die.
Give the guy a title shot.
Yes.
I'd watch it. Shut up. You wouldn't pay for that. Come on.
You would pay for
it. No. Yes, I would. But I'm not the right guy to ask. I pay for every pay-per-view anyways. So.
Hey.
Right, I do. And then you stream it from my house.
I don't stream it.
Sling box.
Uh-uh.
But yes, so I worry about stuff like that.
Legality, by the way, if it's your sling box.
You know, and to answer your question, Matt Hughes said he would come back to do an actual UFC fight with Matt Serra, but not whatever. But
okay, let's take that. Would you watch that? And do you think that should happen?
I would absolutely watch that.
I would too.
Here's all I'm saying, though. Like, when you, and I, hyperbole here aside, right? Matt Hughes is saying, I'm going to do this singular thing.
Right.
Right? They're not going to rank Matt Serra or Matt Hughes when it's all over at 170, right?
Masters division.
I would love to see Tyron Woodley and Matt Hughes. Like, nobody's going to say that sentence. So I, when you see stuff like this, I don't mind, like Ken says, I don't mind feature fights. As long as we know that they're feature fights. And I just, when you looked at how bad he looked for two rounds, and he's going to tell you that he wanted to slow down Gabe Gonzaga, and this was all part of the master plan to get beat up for 12 minutes, and then I was going to really turn it on. it just becomes that dangerous conversation that we've been having. Like, what happens to these dudes when they become 40, 41, 45, 57? What happens to their, you know, when we let them go too far? And I, you know, when you look at that fight, I just think he's gone. I understand why you put him in Poland. I understand why he was on the main event, because if he wasn't, you literally would have known nobody on the card and nobody would have watched, and we would have agreed with the this is not for you sort of mentality. But when you put him in the rankings, I get a little nervous because I didn't see a performance that I thought, oh, yeah, I want to see him start fighting guys.
Wasn't Gabe ranked, though? Was Gabe ranked before? Was he down in that 15
probably.
Spot?
I would assume so.
Can't look back.
I don't think he was.
You get emails from your friends on that? I thought he was, like, ridiculously ranked. I mean, because, you know, Stefan Struve's down there, too. We got Matt Mitrione, Antonio Silva.
Come on.
Yeah, hey. You know? Well, no, I think that's the drop-off, I think, Antonio Silva. So you've got good 12 good heavyweights in Mitrione, Struve. And not that Mitrione's not good. He's probably listening to podcasts. I don't know what else he's doing right now. So, I mean, I guess I can't be that mad about anybody down at 15 anywhere. It doesn't matter.
But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, does that make it that they've got to make another fight for him, though?
Sure, why not?
Yeah,
did they hire him for one?
A multi-fight deal.
They probably hired him for three.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Okay,
maybe they're all in Poland.
What I'm saying is three feature fights is a different conversation than him starting to.
He's 40 years old.
Noodle up the rankings and fight Stipe Miocic. Yeah.
Do you think they hired him for Brock?
No, I don't.
No, mean, okay. I just wonder. I just want to bring it back to that real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he would have been a good fight for Brock.
I think so.
I don't know why you would hate that.
I think the Beast would have tore through him, though.
Yeah, that's why I thought maybe they hired him.
You guys are crazy.
Former champion.
Okay, so speaking of Brock Lesnar, Dana...
And he's a Jimmy Jack.
I want to get your take on this. Dana came out this week and was saying that they weren't ever close at all to the Brock deal, which I thought was interesting given the sort of insider double down information we had the night before he actually made that decision.
Well, I think they just made a investment choice there. They tried to double down on it. They weren't close. It doesn't matter if you double down and he still says no. If you double down and he says yes, you've done the numbers and he probably makes you money. Dana White basically said what we said 3 weeks ago. This makes a lot more sense for Brock. He's got the part-time schedule. Mm-hmm. He's already done with WWE for now. Nobody expects him to have to work again until August at this point. And
he was suspended from the WWE.
Right, yes. We'll talk the intricacies of the suspension and whether it was warranted later in the show. But essentially, yes. He was wrongfully suspended. Thank you, Joe. And he's not working again until August. He'll probably work a couple of events through there. He works through WrestleMania. Probably goes and takes another vacation. He's got the part-time schedule with full-time pay. Dana White said that makes sense for him. He's 38. He's got his family. He's doing what he does. I totally get it. And again, we talked about it 100 times on this show. Full-time WWE, probably a much more strenuous and hard thing to do than to fight in the UFC a couple times a year, but he doesn't do that. He's part-time. And Dana White basically said what we said a couple weeks ago, too.
So I just wanted to get your interesting take on that. The other thing was, it was 2 weeks ago that Ronda was saying, Ronda's management, no plans to do WrestleMania ever. She goes
no,
on.
No.
This year, sorry. No plans
this
to do
year.
WrestleMania this year.
Within
the year. But then she goes on the Roddy Piper podcast this week and goes, I don't know how I could not do this again. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes this interesting conversation about WrestleMania 32, her schedule, the movies, and you know, this fight thing that, if you remember when Anderson was champ, you would see him fight once a year and then he would be off doing whatever he was doing. Do you guys anticipate that that's what you're going to see here? Is that she's just achieved the superstar status that they're going to let her do both these things, Ken?
I don't know if they'll let her do both. I think what's going to happen, well, here's what will happen is my best guess. I don't think she's doing a match next year. I think they're trying to set up WWE, a Triple H Rock match. And basically what you do is you make it real schmozzy and you put Stephanie's in his corner and Ronda's in the other corner, because nobody's going to believe that Ronda Rousey's not going to go in there and kill all the women on the roster and half the men.
Right.
So you have to make it a situation where she's kind of poking her head in here and there. You put her in somebody's corner. She gets to do something with Stephanie, maybe something with Triple H. Almost does the exact same thing she does last year, except we get a little bit of a build-up. She only has to show up a week or two before that, and we get the little bit of payoff there, and she doesn't actually fight. So the UFC's like, okay, as long as you're not going to quit, we'll let you go do this. Because they only benefit from this. I think it was very surprising the night that it happened, but man, look at all the publicity UFC's gotten out of WWE that night.
Sure, absolutely.
So I think that's where we're going to see this, because Ronda Rousey's got a problem. when she goes into that pro wrestling world is that her believability is so high that nobody's going to believe it if she goes in there and one of the Bella twins knocks her down with their boobs or something. Right? That's what they do, right? That's their finisher, I think.
what do they call it?
I think it's called the boing.
Okay. Oh,
so, yeah, you don't think Ronda Rousey's going to get knocked out by the boing. So you've got an issue inherent with pro wrestling. If she's not signing full-time, you can't have her go in there and basically squash one of your performers. You can have her go in there and beat up the wife of the CEO because, oh, look, she's a civilian, so to speak, and you can have it be a little moshy, and you can work around it with The Rock and Triple H. And
for sure, she'll have an arm bar at WrestleMania 32.
I mean, a standing arm lock that.
No. Like that.
Yeah. See,
a real arm bar.
Would you? Here's the question we should be asking. Would you let Ronda Rousey put a fake arm bar on you?
Why wouldn't I? That's the real question.
Do you think she knows how to put a fake arm bar on?
I'm sure they coach her up. Ronda Rousey can do whatever she wants to me, Ken.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. That got out of
Let's
coach.
Close the segment
Okay.
out.
Perfect. Before we take off, Phil Davis has signed with Bellator. That happened on tax day. John Jones, as I said, kind of hijacked. Andre Arlovsky was doing a Google Hangout with some media junket folks, and he hijacked it to say that he was likely going to stay at light heavyweight. This dream of going to heavyweight is kind of something he's not going to play around with, at least.
He said he was going to do some super fights, but stay at light heavyweight.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's some interesting news. And then as I was making fun of, Nate Diaz and Matt Brown was on Sunday, off on Monday, on Tuesday, off on Wednesday, on yesterday, I believe, now officially off.
So, what?
So you will
Diaz
not see...
brothers being Diaz brothers.
You will not see any Diaz brothers fighting Matt Brown at this point, as much as I would think that would be a great fight.
Diaz and everywhere.
Diaz and all the Diazes. Okay, as I said, this week you can catch all of the results as UFC on Fox 15 happens tomorrow night. Just follow us on Twitter at Wow Show. Follow us on Facebook at Wow Show. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you later. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.